science, all sorts of people are slugging it out over their theories about the mind, from philosophers to computer scientists to theologians. One of the questions that lurks behind the debate over consciousness has cosmic dimensions. Does the mind have an independent existence apart from the brain? Come to think of it, is there any way to answer that question? Steve Paulson figured the best thing to do would be to talk with some of the leading figures in the study of consciousness, including neuroscientist Andrew Newberg, philosophers Daniel Dennett and Ken Wilber, physicist Roger Penrose, and New Age guru Deepak Chopra. Steve has this report.
It's just a 3-pound chunk of wrinkled tissue, but what a chunk that is. The human brain is so complex it spawned all kinds of competing theories about the nature of consciousness. Some people say science will never explain how the mind works, but others say no, we've been seduced to believe it's far more mysterious than it really is. Take MIT computer scientist Marvin Minsky, one of the pioneers of artificial intelligence. In his book, The Emotion Machine, he argues that part of the problem is the language we use, starting with a word like consciousness.
I call it a suitcase word for about 20 different kinds of mental processes. And so whenever you try to explain part of it, then you find, well, you've left something out. And this makes people feel like there's a big mystery. But I think this is the case with a lot of psychological words.
So you're saying that the word consciousness basically doesn't mean anything. It covers so much ground and so many different brain functions that it's just this vague, amorphous concept. That's
right. I don't think it's good enough for a scientific word. And so we have to replace it by reflection and decisions and about a dozen other things. And once you do that, the big problem goes away. And so instead of talking about the mystery of consciousness, let's talk about the 20 or 30 really important mental processes that are involved. And then, with a couple of years' work, you can make a big step toward solving each of them. And when you're all done, somebody says, well, what about consciousness? And you say, oh, that. That was what people wasted their time on in the 20th century.
And yet the brain, the human brain, is, as far as we know, the most complex object in the whole universe. It contains something like a trillion cells and many synapses. There are different chemical reactions that go on within the brain. Do you really think computer scientists can understand how all of this works?
I can understand exactly how a computer works, although I'm very fuzzy on how the transistors work. And my bet is that when all is done, it'll turn out that it didn't matter very much how each synapse worked. So although it's nice to know how the individual nerve cells work, what's more important, I think, is the middle levels of organization, which makes the parts of the brain do things that don't depend very much on the small chemical events inside them.
Marvin Minsky believes computer scientists will one day be able to build a copy of the human brain, and in fact make a vastly better version of it. But plenty of scientists think it's dead wrong to say the brain works like a computer.
It's very different. I mean, subjective experience. There's nothing in science that tells you that such and such a combination of who's its gives you a subjective experience.
Roger Penrose is a renowned British physicist and mathematician. Some years back, he felt compelled to launch his own study of consciousness after he heard a radio interview with Marvin Minsky, which greatly annoyed him. When Penrose talks about the difficulty of explaining subjective experience, he's touching on what philosophers call the hard problem of consciousness, the mysterious nature of our rich inner lives, for instance, our experience of love, or the quirky dreams we have. He says no computer can generate those experiences. In fact, they're beyond anything that neuroscience, biology, or physics can now explain.
We do need a major revolution in our understanding of the physical world in order to accommodate consciousness. The most likely place, if we're not going to go outside physics altogether, is in this big unknown, namely making sense of quantum mechanics. Hmm. It's the borderline, if you like, between quantum mechanical behavior and classical behavior. Now, this borderline is completely ununderstood at the moment.
Penrose has a theory about how this quantum computation within the brain might work, which involves tiny protein structures within neurons called microtubules. His theory is quite speculative and highly controversial. The late biochemist Francis Crick once said of Penrose, "At bottom, his argument is that quantum gravity is mysterious and consciousness is mysterious, and wouldn't it be wonderful if